Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Dewey Brown played fiddle with Dr. Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys for 12 years until Dr. Ralph's passing in 2016. Dewey is now leading a new band along with his wife Leslie called the Carolina Gentlemen. In this edition of Americana Music Profiles, I talk with Leslie Brown about their upcoming new record, their new single release, and their life in bluegrass music.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I am good. I'm glad we get a chance to talk today. Leslie is one half of the husband and wife, Leslie and Dewey Brown. You guys have a band and a new record out, and I just thought it would be a good chance to talk to you about that and get a little bit about your story and where you guys came from and how all of this came together.
Yeah, for sure. Super excited to be here and looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah, cool. So you guys have got a pretty good history in bluegrass music on both sides of your family, right?
We do, yes, sir. My husband has been playing the fiddle since he was about 7 years old, and has played with many different bands, and then ultimately ended up with Dr. Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys for 12 years. So
yeah, wow.
So he got to do a lot of really cool stuff, and super proud of him for it. And you know, he traveled with Ralph for many years, and just a super awesome experience. He got to experience things that I think that a lot of folks and artists in our industry, you know, don't ever get to experience. And
right,
you know, got a wealth of stories for sure.
Yeah, and of course, Dr. Ralph is. Hopefully, everybody knows who he is, and he's got a long a legacy of artists that has played with him and have gone on to do their own thing and be quite successful at it. And you guys met, I'm presuming, looking at the notes that I have here, about halfway through that stint for him when you guys got married, right? Kind of around 2006 or 2007?
Yeah, 2007, and we met shortly after he had joined Dr. Ralph, and I'm from Virginia, not too far from Dr. Ralph. I actually went to church with Dr. Ralph growing up in the Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, cool.
We've seen him in a totally different way.
I'm sure.
Because we've, you know, seen him sitting in the church pew every Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, not every Sunday. He was playing a lot, but when he was there. I met Dewey. He was playing a show actually with Ralph too, and in Saltville, Virginia. And I'm a plotter from way back and square dancer, and we were performing, our square dancing team was performing, and Dewey had played with Ralph too, and he came up afterwards and gave me his business card and told me if I ever needed a fiddle player to give him a call.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah.
That was a pretty sneaky, sly way to do that.
I know. And I was so naive that I went to my dad and I said, what would I need a fiddle player for? And he said, honey, I don't think that's what he meant by that.
That's funny.
So now I make the joke that I actually did end up needing a fiddle player, so.
Yeah, wow.
So that's kind of how it began.
Yeah.
I started dating longer, so then, you know, eventually got married and I moved to North Carolina.
So, did you guys do any sort of work together prior to Dewey leaving the Dr. Ralph's band?
No, we actually did not. It's kind of a funny story. I'm a nurse by trade. I had my bachelor's degree in nursing, and that's what I did the whole time he was on the road, and you know, kept the children and that sort of thing. And then about maybe 2 years before Dr. Ralph passed, we purchased a theater a little theater in Liberty, North Carolina, mm-hmm. the Liberty Showcase, and you know, Dewey kind of foreseen that the future, you know, Ralph was getting older and may slow down, and so he wanted to protect, you know, the music and do something in the industry, you know, whether it be continue playing or, you know, doing this theater. So we purchased the theater and started having, you know, live music shows there. And then after about, I'd say, 6 or 8 months after Ralph's passing is when we kind of got together and started talking about doing this seriously. I had written a few songs for Dewey previously and written a recitation for Ralph, actually, on one of his albums. And so I had written before, but, you know, never really, that wasn't my main thing. I just kind of done it on the side and was pretty quiet about it.
Okay.
And then we decided to kind of go forward seriously about it, and I picked up the bass, and we just took off.
So had you had any experience playing an instrument prior to that?
A tenor saxophone.
Okay. How does that translate to bass player?
Well, timing, that and the clogging obviously gave me some timing background. But as far as, you know, a horn instrument moving
right.
to the brain, it's a totally different world. The only thing I can say is, you know, I can read music and I know, you know, scales and notes, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like learning something all over again, pretty much.
Wow.
But it came pretty easy. Dewey taught me, and I picked it up, and it was actually funny because he said, you know, if we're going to do this seriously, then you've got to learn how to play an instrument and stand up and sing. And I said, okay. And he said, okay, well, what do you want to play? And I said, the bass. And so I did, and probably like a month later, he was like, wow, okay, well, you were really serious about that, weren't you? And I was like, yep, sure was.
That's cool. So, and singing, was that something that was part of your life prior to this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I sang in church.
Okay.
And never professionally or anything like that. You know, I sang in church and went to bluegrass festivals growing up. I was more of a dancer. I clogged and then danced and things. But I always enjoyed singing along to Ricky Skaggs and Ralph and, you know, Country Gentlemen, that sort of thing, in the car and with my family. And my dad was a musician, so he would play the guitar and we would sing together. So, you know, it was very much a part of my life growing up and coming along, but never anything professionally.
I read where, I'm not sure if you said this or somebody said this about you, but that you consider yourself an authentic coal miner's daughter. Growing up, I presume, in a coal town or an area where a lot of folks worked in the coal town, what was that like growing up in that area? And you mentioned going to church with Dr. Ralph and having all of this music kind of starting to come alive around you guys. Was that something that you were very aware of, or was it just kind of what you did as part of your life?
Well, it was kind of normal. You know, I don't think I realized, you know, how much history and how many things I got to see that a lot of folks didn't get to see growing mm-hmm. up. And I'm from Grundy, Virginia, and my dad was a coal miner. You know, that's a completely different lifestyle now that
sure.
I have, you know, gotten out of there and live in North Carolina and kind of in between two major cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yeah, I don't think that I did realize, you know, what kind of opportunity that I had. It's kind of like, you know, I know my dad used to sit on the porch and play the guitar and just look at the mountains and stare at them just, you know, and sing. And
mm-hmm.
I would say when I was a little girl, you know, how can you do this every day, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and now what I wouldn't give to go back to that porch and just sit there. And now I understand. It's like, you know, now I look back at all the experiences and opportunities that I got, you know, in the bluegrass world and, you know, just, it's just really cool now, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I did realize it, but I do appreciate it now and I hold it very dear to my heart for sure.
Do those experiences, I'm presuming, influence your songwriting?
Yes, they do, very heavily. Our first album, Under the Mountain, pretty much a lot of the songwriting is about coal mining and, you know, what happens under the mountain
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of growing up in the mountains and the whole mountain lifestyle. And it's kind of a tribute to my dad. in a way. He worked really hard growing up, and so did my mom as well, and we just lived a very simple country life or mountain life, and so it's kind of a tribute to that. So it does spill over a lot in my singing, and musicality and all of that is very much reflective of the Primitive Baptist, the acapella singing, that sort of thing, because that's what I grew up with and know.
Is that lifestyle, does that still exist in certain parts of that area, or has a lot of it kind of gone away now?
Well, I would say about half and half. Yes, it does still exist, and I think, you know, I go back home, try to go back home pretty often, and I see that there's a lot of folks that still experience that type of lifestyle, and,
mm-hmm.
And but then, you know, it has evolved, and things have, you know, even in their small town, I remember we didn't get a McDonald's till I was 14.
Wow.
So we ate, you know, I was just talking with my friend about this the other day, you know, we raised garden and ate out of the garden every evening for supper, and you know, we would get, we had a druther, which is Dairy Queen, and I don't know, a lot of people don't remember that, but Dairy Queen used to be Druthers.
Oh, okay.
That,
no, I never knew that either.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we had that as a special treat. And I remember when we got to McDonald's, it was a big deal.
Yeah, so, I'm sure.
Well, I was a little late on the Happy Meal train, but so things have really, you know, grown. I remember when there was just the one red light and the one post office and just one, you know, so things have grown. But, you know, one thing that I will mention that is really sad to me is, you know, a lot of the coal has mined out, and, you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, a lot of the coal miners have lost their jobs. And,
yeah.
You know, that's a sad, it's a very depressed area now because of that. And it's
yeah.
really sad because I remember it when it was booming and, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I hear those stories, and it is sad that, and it was a hard life, but it's sad that we're losing culture like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned a few minutes ago about the theater, and I wanted to ask you about that. What, tell me a little bit more about the theater and what you guys do with that. I presume that you still operate that?
Yes, we do. We have a website that folks can visit to see our lineup. We have a lot of great artists that we bring in, thelibertyshowcase.com, and we bring in a lot of country artists. We do some bluegrass. Sometimes as openers, and sometimes, you know, bigger shows like Del McCurry and, you know, folks like that. But we do mostly country. Like, we've got Shenandoah, Marty Draven coming up.
Okay.
We've got Marty Stewart. We've got the Oak Ridge Boys, those type of artists that we host. And then we perform there too, sometimes. And, but we've been, you know, very blessed with it. We have a full staff that run it. Even if we have shows, if that's starting to happen more often than not, we have a show and then we also have a show at the theater, but I have a really good manager that manages it and runs it very well. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. Lots of fun to meet with these legends, Gene Watson.
Sure.
And then,
all
these folks. They're super great to work with, too. So we have a lot of fun doing that.
How many folks can you put in there? How big is the theater?
We have... Yeah, 454 seats.
Oh, wow. Great.
So pretty intimate, actually. You know, I think it's just the right amount. And folks, we have a really loyal following of folks that come from all over.
Yeah.
Because they really get a good experience. They are close to the artist. The artist usually comes out. We've only had a few that haven't. Shake some howdies until the end and takes pictures and signs autographs, which is not as common in country as it is in bluegrass.
Sure, yeah.
So we try to do that and give them kind of a more intimate, personal experience with artists, and people really like that.
And you guys actually run a couple festivals too, is that right?
Well, we did. We had Dewey Fest for 5 years, and then we have Gospel Fest, which we've now kind of turned into a benefit festival that we are, you know, picking a family that the proceeds go to. We're in the process of trying to gear up for that. So we don't have any information on that yet, but anybody can follow us on the Liberty Showcase or Facebook or personal Facebook, and we'll put that out there. But we did run a festival for 5 years, and it just kind of, we were so busy, and I kudos to all of the festival promoters out there, because I know firsthand what it's like to run a festival.
Yeah.
And it is not easy.
Well, and yeah, the competition is growing too. There's so many new ones coming online, and you know, you're kind of slicing the pie pretty thin sometimes with festival goers. You know, there's so many cool options that you can only go to so many places.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a lot of. I mean, North Carolina is just, you know, full of festivals. So mm-hmm. we kind of felt like at the 5-year mark, you know, there's so many. Like we have Little Jump right across the way from us, maybe not even 10 miles, but pretty well-known festival that mm-hmm. happens every year. And we have Pretty Fest and, you know, all at Willow Oak. There's so many that have been in existence for, you know, 30-plus years. And it's hard getting the festival running off the ground and with us being so busy. So I think what we're going to do is, you know, we are working on turning it into an amphitheater where we do outdoor things.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So,
yeah.
So I'll be on the lookout for that.
All right. Yeah. Sure. Cool. Well, keep us in the loop on that for sure. So you guys have got a new record.
It's going to, I think we're tossing back and forth the names, but we're getting ready to release a new single, I think, this week. And the song is called Jealousy. And so we're really excited. We've got the album finished. We're just, you know, finishing up some artwork and some special guest artists that I'm really excited about that I can't announce yet, but some really cool folks that may be hopping on the album with us. So
okay.
We're just, you know, excited about that. So, yeah, we got new music and mostly all original material. Again, our first album was 12 out of 14 songs were original.
Oh,
and,
neat.
And this
okay.
album will be similar. So,
the debut album is Under the Mountain, and we're anticipating the new record then, and yet to be named. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're kind of tossing around some names for it, but we've got all the songs finished and mastered, and like I said, just waiting for the right time, but we're going to push some singles out there and let the folks get a good taste, and we're really excited about it. We've been in the studio for a while and working on it, actually the past year, so we're excited to get it out there.
Yeah, that's great. Are you guys touring or planning a tour? How do you work all of that into your schedule with everything else that you do?
Well, it's tricky. I will say that. It is super tricky. But we've kind of figured out a happy balance. Yes, we are touring. And we have several dates at IBMA coming up that we're playing.
Awesome.
We're also playing at Christmas in the Smokies. We want to invite everybody out to that December 14th
mm-hmm.
with Lorraine Jordan. And it's going to be a great, great lineup, and we're going to be going to Oklahoma next year, Indiana. So we're excited. We've got some stuff in the pipeline, and our full schedule is at doingleslieground.com. So if you want to keep up with us, you can check out all our tour dates there. But I think we're pretty busy coming up, and I think the first part of the year we're going on a cruise on the Bluegrass and Blue Water cruise. Invite everybody to go with us on that to
wow.
Bahamas.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, we're staying pretty busy, but it's a balance for sure, but we're learning.
And did I read correctly that Dewey also runs a music shop?
He does.
Yeah.
He does that weekly. Yeah, Dewey Brown's Music and Lessons in Graham, North Carolina, and he teaches about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and sometimes, you know, depends on when we're in and that sort of thing. He works with the students. And they work with him, which we appreciate.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Yeah, he teaches all instruments, and he's been doing that for quite a while as well. So,
wow, cool.
Yeah.
So you guys are clearly committed to the music, and I certainly commend you for that. There's so much need for people to connect to the music and the artists, and so many genres, kind of as you mentioned before, artists don't seem to let the public into the music as much as bluegrass musicians do. And so we certainly appreciate when people like yourselves do that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and you're exactly right. And that's one of the things that because we love it. We love it so much. You know, I'm sure you've heard a lot of bluegrass musicians talk about they're doing it for the tens of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely not in it for the money. And but it's just a love, and it's a family. It's a community.
Yeah, sure.
You know, family. So we really enjoy every aspect of it.
Yeah.
We enjoy getting to see all sides of it. You know, running the festival, being a promoter for the theater, being the artist, and also being a teacher, and, you know, just all different things.
Yeah, that's great. Well, if people want to track with the new singles, maybe get a copy of your debut record, or if they're close enough, schedule a visit to the theater. What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Well, we have several different websites. All of our music is on iTunes, Spotify, all of the major music outlets, Google Play, all that. So you can just look us up, Dewey and Leslie Brown, the Carolina Gentlemen. Our website's DeweyandLeslieBrown.com. So that's our band stuff, TheLibertyShowcase.com for our theater stuff. And be sure and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And that's the best way to kind of keep up with everything that's going on. Is Facebook and Instagram. I usually keep pretty active on there.
Great,
to let folks know, you know, what's going on. So be sure and give us a like or a follow, and also check out our new music video that we just put out. We just put out a new music video from our second single, On Under the Mountain, and it's called New Mountain Girl, and it was produced by a really awesome Hollywood producer that's one of our friends that's done Star Trek and all kinds of different Caribbean.
All right.
So it's a pretty cool video, I would say. So y'all check that out.
For sure,
It's on YouTube, it's No Bounce Girl.
Good, yeah. Well, thanks, Leslie. I appreciate it. Enjoyed talking to you.
Yes, yeah, you as well. Thank you so much for your time, and I've enjoyed it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.